in the third chapter of the book of Revelations, verses 14 through 22, is the story of Laodicea. Laodicea was the last and worst of the seven churches of Asia. Sardis was dead, but had a few living, worthy believers. Thyatira was compromising, sinful, idolatrous, but had some who held the truth. But this church, this Laodicean church, was lukewarm. Some churches made the Lord weep. Some made the Lord angry. This one made him sick. Laodicea was founded by Antiochus II. It was named after his wife, Laodice. In the first century, Laodicea was known for its great wealth. It had a theater, a stadium, a gymnasium, a public bathhouse, and a medical college connected with the worship of a pagan god of healing. In fact, this medical school produced a highly valued ointment for the eyes. But most of this city's wealth came from its banking. In fact, Laodicea was so rich that it didn't need the assistance of the Roman government to rebuild after a devastating earthquake destroyed it in A.D. 60. Perhaps Laodicea's most prized product was its beautiful black wool, which was unusual because of its brilliant glossy luster. Nearby Galassi produced a dark violet wool that was equally as stunning. These were both, no doubt, the results of careful breeding. Although these species of dark sheep thrived as late as the 18th century, they seem to be extinct now. With its enormous wealth, Laodicea stood in sharp contrast to Philadelphia. Philadelphia was small and weak, but had plenty of zeal. Laodicea, on the other hand, was wealthy and powerful, but its abundance of wealth produced a spirit of indifference and apathy. The church at Laodicea was most likely established sometimes during Paul's missionary journeys. According to Acts 19:10, when Paul was preaching at Ephesus, tells us that the gospel was preached throughout all of Asia. In Paul's letter to the Colossians, Paul wrote in the fourth chapter about Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, salutes you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he has a great zeal for you and them that are at Laodicea and them that are at Hierapolis. This seems to indicate that Epaphras had taken the gospel to Colossae, Laodicea, and Hierapolis after his conversion. Paul also wrote an epistle to this congregation during his first Roman imprisonment, although that letter no longer exists. And then Paul told those at Colossae, when this epistle is read among you, cause it to be read also in the church of the Laodicean, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And then in Colossians, the second chapter, in the first verse, Paul says, for I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be comforted, knitted together in love, and into all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and the Father and of Jesus Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, you are subject to ordinances after the commandments and doctrines of men, such as taste not, touch not, and handle not. Set your affections on things above, not on the things of the earth, for you are dead in Christ, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And then Paul closes out this letter with these words: continue in prayer, and watching the same with thanksgiving, praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mysteries of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I might make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you might know how you ought to answer every man. Remember my bonds. Grace be with you. Amen. And now, after two letters from Paul, we come to the third letter from Jesus Christ himself. Beginning with verse 14 of chapter 3, we read these words of the Lord: unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write these things, says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. This church here was the middle of the road church. They didn't offend anyone, a church in which all would feel comfortable. They preached the love of God, I believe, but yet they did not preach all of God's words. I believe the pastor, being lukewarm himself and not wanting to offend anyone with words such as holiness or righteousness, I believe he cherry-picked his scriptures that would give them that feel-good experience, scriptures that they could shout out amen, scriptures such as the Lord wants you to prosper and be in health, scriptures where God said, I know my thoughts toward you. They are thoughts of good and prosperity and health. These scriptures are all true, but there are other scriptures that call us to repentance, that call us to humble ourselves, that call us to be holy because God is holy. There are scriptures that tell us about the wrath of God, which will come upon them who do not obey his word. Yes, I believe this pastor was lukewarm. And no, I don't believe he offended anyone. All of his sermons were feel-good sermons, sermons that would cause people to want to come back again next Sunday. He preached a message without a cross. He preached a salvation without service. Pastor, this may work for a while, but it won't be long before you and your church will also be lukewarm and nauseating to God.